May I speak in the name of God,
who is the lover, the beloved, and the love sharer. Amen. In year one of the three-year ecumenical lectionary, we're treated to some rip-roaring yarns in our Old Testament readings from the Deuteronomic histories of the first and second book of Samuel and the first and second books of the Kings. Again, these stories remind us that without knowledge of history, we can only stumble around blind in the present. These Old Testament stories have a soap opera quality. They function in the similar way. These stories of societal machinations among ordinary Israelite folk cast a powerful spotlight on our contemporary societal machinations. It's another Old Testament book, Ecclesiastes, that reminds us that what has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Now, while our Old Testament readings have offered ringside seats on ancient goings-on, the Gospel readings from the sixth chapter of John's Gospel have been focused on Jesus's metaphors about bread, provocative metaphors about bread. Jesus's complex riff on bread metaphors is unique and a characteristic only of John's Gospel, and particularly of the sixth chapter. And consequently, this chapter forms the bedrock of Christian Eucharistic understanding, of which I want to say a little today and then to go on and expand to say more about next week. Now, 2 weeks ago, Kaylee offered a reflection on the feeding of the 5,000 as recorded by John. She began with a description of the nature of barley bread. I don't know if I've ever eaten barley bread. Certainly, her description of its density and squishiness sounds very unappetizing to me. However, her sermon got me thinking about bread. As a child, I remember bread being delivered along with milk in glass bottles to the mailbox at the end of our drive in the early morning. My earliest memory is of bread that came as whole loaves, white or brown, in a waxed paper envelope. It came, there was a time, I remember, when it also came in a third kind, sliced. The arrival of the slicing machine in the bakery meant that in our house, bread now came pre-sliced, not in a wax wrapper, but in a plastic wrapper. And pre-sliced bread is one of the major cultural achievements of the 20th century, because it's even found its way into the language. It's the best thing since sliced bread, we say, to indicate something that's new or innovative. I remember bread as the staple of my childhood, not as the specialty item to be savored by the denizens of Seven Stars Bakery. Bread was bread, white or brown or sliced or not, used as toast or to make a sandwich, or a bread pudding, which was a favorite of my visits to my maternal grandmother. I also remember a time when eating bread had little downside. Unlike the overly processed wheat that goes into commercial bread today, the bread of my childhood was baked from minimally processed grain, the purity of which and the metabolism of youth allowed me to consume bread without regard to quantity or consequence. Alas, the slowing of my aging male body's metabolism now means that for me, bread has become chiefly identified as the source of unwanted calories. Bread is the staple food of cultures where wheat is the staple grain. In wheat-growing societies, dependence on bread as the staple food has led such societies to view bread as a symbol of divine generosity, an embodiment of God's care and concern for human beings. Our own collective religious memory contains countless instances and references to bread as a sign of God's presence, God's blessing, God's involvement in our lives. Hence, Jesus' use of bread is not only a teaching metaphor for spiritual sustenance, it's a metaphor of connection. Connection with God, connection through his unique relationship with God, and through him, our connection to God. Now, we should recall that hunger was a commonplace experience for the masses displaced by the agro-revolution that was going on all through the farming lands of the Galilee where Jesus was preaching. First century Palestine, increasingly undergoing this agrarian revolution, land being vested in powerful landowners, displacing the peasant farmers, rather like our own experience today. This is a story, power grabbing and gobbling up and displacing ordinary, powerless people. This is a story as old as time, and one alarmingly familiar to us as we view with a sense of increasing alarm the monopolistic trajectory of economic developments in our own day. Jesus speaks to the crowds using a series of bread metaphors, two of which we hear today. I am the bread of life, and I am the bread that came down from heaven. Interestingly, John records that this teaching didn't go down well. It makes little sense to the crowds, and they begin to grumble. They're even scandalized enough for some of them to leave him. And eventually, Jesus finds his focus. He focuses his bread metaphor through the lens of collective memory by reminding the crowds of the manna, the bread from heaven, that fed and sustained their ancestors in the wilderness. Now, perhaps if Jesus had read his Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, he would have realized that it's a tall order telling people about spiritual bread as mystical nourishment when their bellies are empty. Bread is one of the central metaphors of the Christian faith. We pray, give us this day our daily bread, which is an extended metaphor that encompasses all of life's basic needs. Daily bread encompasses not only something to eat, but also somewhere to live, some meaningful activity that brings dignity to our lives. Someone to love and to be loved by. And while we long for the bread from heaven that feeds our spiritual hunger, we have a spiritual imperative to ensure that there is enough to go around for everyone to receive their daily bread. Now, paradoxically, we have the opposite problem to Jesus' first century hearers. To them, the mention of bread reminded them of their hunger. Bread to stave off starvation. They had little bandwidth for spiritual bread. Whereas we are all too comfortable with praying for the bread from heaven that feeds our spiritual hunger while ignoring or being complicit in systems that ensure that some, but not all, have daily bread. The great Dom Helder Camara, liberation theologian and bishop of the Brazilian Diocese of Recife between 1964 and 1985, was a hero of my youth and a hero of the liberation theological movement, so disliked by John Paul II and his Rottweiler, the then Cardinal Ratzinger. Dom Camara asked the awkward question, "Why, when I give bread to the poor, do they call me a saint? And why, when I ask why the poor have no bread, they call me a communist?" And he reminds us that our Christian faith comes with a cost. Fulfilling our Christian responsibility to ensure that everyone has their daily bread, bread being used here as a metaphor for multiple poverties, will cost us in terms of sharing the resources we currently claim for ourselves. In the Eucharist, Jesus gives himself as the bread from heaven that feeds the life of the world. But this is not a heavenly world, but a real-time world. In the Eucharist, we celebrate the bread from heaven given for the life of the world. But we also, in that same moment, make our ethical commitment to the life and flourishing of that world. The spiritual bread of the Eucharist cannot be separated from being also the physical bread of food and shelter, of love, life purpose, made available in the everyday world. The Eucharist is the spiritual bread of communion with God, is also the physical bread of connection between us and the world in which we find ourselves. The bread of the Eucharist, the spiritual bread of communion, is made available in the everyday world. And note the verb made. The spiritual bread of the Eucharist is not given miraculously. It is made available. The daily bread of the Eucharist is made available through the process of our participation in worship, that sends us out into the world for political action. The spiritual bread of the Eucharist becomes the daily bread of the world through our commitment to service our witness to truth-telling. And I'll say more about that next week. Amen.